Thank you very much to the organizers for this nice opportunity of speaking. First, I have to apologize because this talk was supposed to be a new invariant that was conserved at linear order in the spin parameter for the motion of spinning particle in a Kerr background. But unfortunately, we had a quite interesting email exchange with Justin Vine end of last week. And I would like to thank him a lot because it was very helpful. And we realized that something was wrong in our computation. So my first idea was to rename this talk the sad story of a failure or of a mistake. But then we keep on working, and what I will present now is not a conclusive talk, but much more a work in progress report about the computation we are trying to do at the moment, and so, and the method we are using. And so I would like really to apologize for this, and hope that this will be a good trigger for other ideas or other computation or, okay. So what we are trying to do actually is that we are the setup we are studying are the Matheson-Papakiewicz equation of motion, which describe the motion of a spinning test particle in curved background. And as it was already mentioned today, as you may know, the system of equation is not closed. And so you have to impose a spin supplementary condition. This was really well described before, so I'm going a little bit fast on this point. And so we should impose that kind of condition in order to close the system of equation. And we choose the Tolchev spin supplementary condition in our work. And sorry, so at the end of the day, having imposed that condition in four dimensions, we are, for describing our motion, we are left with a system that possesses seven independent degrees of freedom, namely the four components of the impulsion and also three components of the spin vector, because we have an orthogonality condition between our impulsion and our spin vector. So in full generality, the MPT equation are really complicated dynamical equations, really involved dynamical system, because it can lead to a chaotic behavior. But if you want to study an emery, which is the spinning, an emery possessing a spinning secondary, which is astrophysically realistic, then these spin terms that are involved into your equation are quite small. And so you can study the linearized set of equation. And this is what we are going to do. We are going to neglect all spin contribution that are higher order, that are second order or higher in the spin parameter. And we will stay within the linearized level. So our aim will be to study actually the quantities that are conserved for this linearized Matheson-Papakiewicz equations. And this is really interesting because the state of the art of the literature is that we know that at linear order, so there are six independent dynamical quantities that are conserved, and we have 7 degrees of freedom. And on the other side, we know that the chaotic dynamics seems only to appear at second order in the spin. So there is a question if we can find the seventh quantity, maybe it could be helpful to prove the complete integrability of our system and furthermore to simplify the equation of motion at linear level. So this is really our motivation. And so we want to study those conserved quantity, and we want to study them from a quite general viewpoint that was first used by Rüdiger in the 80s. And this viewpoint is the reverse viewpoint from the classical textbook viewpoint, where you just, for example, in most of the textbook, you introduce symmetries. For example, you introduce killing vector fields, and then you show that this the existence, for example, of killing vector field for the geodesic motion will imply the existence of conserved quantities. And we want to reverse this process, and we want to say, okay, I want some conserved quantity to exist, and what does it require? And we want to derive the general constraints that the existence of such quantity would require, and we will see that it will lead namely to the existence of also quantities on your background spacetime that encode certain symmetries. And so the general procedure we want to use is the following. First, we want to assume the form, general form of the invariant we want to use for, we want to construct, for example, polynomial in our dynamical variables. And then we will plug this general expression into the conservation equation and use the equation of motion to reduce this conservation equation. And finally, to infer the sufficient constraint that should be obeyed for my quantity to be conserved. And there is a quick sketch of this procedure applied to geodesic motion, and you can see that you recover all the quantities related to the existence of symmetries for your geodesic motion, and the existence of conserved quantities require obviously the existence of killing vector or of killing tensors. And so we want to use this procedure in the spinning particle case. And what's known about the motion of spinning particle in curved spacetime? So of course you have two trivial invariants that are conserved, exactly conserved, which are the invariant mass of your particle and the norm of the spin vector. Also something that exists is that it was shown that you can generalize the conserved quantity that you have for your killing vector field to with a correction that takes into account the existence of the spin. And also in the ITs, using this general procedure described there, Rüdiger found two quasi-invariant of the motion, which are in fact conserved up to a breaking term that are quadratic in the spin parameter, namely one which is linear in the dynamical variables and one which is quadratic in the dynamical variables. So at the end of the day, we have six invariants or quasi-invariants. And we just want to know if it's possible to generalize this and to find a seventh, for example. And this will allow us to discuss questions such as integrability for the linearized equation. And so we tackle the problem of deriving the general constraint, generalizing the construction of Rüdiger for our linearized MPD equations. And actually, it seems that your conservation equation looks like this at the end of the day, and you have different constraints that arise at different order in the spin parameter. And so if you want a quantity that is conserved at linear order, you have to solve this constraint, which just means that you should have a killing tensor on your background, and you should also solve this constraint, which is much, much more harder. And this constraint, actually, we were able to reduce it if we assume Ricci flatness of the background and the existence of a Killingiano tensor, which is true in curved spacetime. We were able to reduce it to this equation, actually. And so we are able to, we can construct a quasi-invariant of the motion, provided that this equation holds. But this equation remains very complicated to solve because it involves rank 3 tensor and also a vector y, and we have to find by trying different ansatz, we have to try to find the solution. And it turns out that the trivial solution to this equation is actually gives back actually the quantities found by Rüdiger in the 80s. But now we want to generalize this solution, and we were thinking that we had a nice generalization, but again, thanks to Justin, it turns out that we made a mistake. But we still have hope, and we are trying to use more general ansatz for solving our equation in a non-trivial way. And at this point, our results are still not conclusive, but we have very good, very strong evidences that we can suspect that at least one non-trivial invariant should exist. And also a good point that is to mention is that we have already derived during this procedure, we have already derived some new and highly non-trivial identities regarding space-time emitting Killingiano tensor, which can be also interesting for the potential application. So this is our current status. What we managed to be down is to, so to have a definitive answer about the existence of such an invariant. And then if it exists, just see what this invariant could mean in the context of Kerr spacetime, and then also discuss if all those quantities, if we have seven quantities, if they are in involution or not. This question will be related to the integrability in the sense of Liouville of our system of equation. And there is also a numerous perspective about those conserved quantities. A few are listed there, but I will stop here and maybe take some questions if there are any.
Great. We have time for a quick question. Liu?
Hi, Adrian. Nice work.
Hi, Liu.
Yeah, I think I'm still confused about the counting that you said, that you wanted seven constants. Yes. That are all in involution, but I thought that there were, you know, eight orbital phase space variables and only two spin phase space variables after you remove the constraints. So that would be 10 dimensional, and you would only need five constants in involution. So why is it seven?
So actually, this is this question is related to do you consider really the phase space, or do you consider let's say just the degrees of freedom you have at the level of your system of equation? Here, I'm not taking the point that I consider the system from an Hamiltonian viewpoint. I totally agree with your counting that if you consider an Hamiltonian viewpoint, then you have two variables in the spin sector and two conjugated momenta, and also three and for the impulsions. But maybe we can discuss a little bit later, because we had a discussion with Geoffrey about the fact that finally, at the end of the day, the two viewpoints were quite convincing. What I just do is that I do not consider the positions into my counting, because the position are just here the covariant derivatives of the velocities. And so I just take the point of view that you take in your if you deal with geodesic motion, that you will just consider the impulsions, and that you will want to integrate your equation for obtaining for your impulsions, and then the position will just be the integral of them. But maybe we can discuss further later, and I can recover the exchange I had with my supervisor. And at the end of the day, the two countings, you're using Hamiltonian formalism, and our were in agreement.